Hare Krishna, this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 33, entitled The Activities of Kapila. Number 14. Avikshna Vagaha Kapisham Gattilam Kudilalakan Atmanam Chojatapasya Viprati Chirinam Shiram Kisham Abhikshna. Again and again. Abhagaha. By bathing. Kapishan. Grey. Chatilan. Matted. Kutila. Curled. Alakan. Hair. Atmanam, her body, cha, and ugra tapasya, by severe austerities, viprati, became, chiridam, clothed in rags, krisham, thin, translation, she began to bathe three times daily, and thus her curling black hair gradually became grey. Due to austerity, her body gradually became thin, and she wore old garments. Please repeat. She began to bathe three times daily, and thus her curling black hair gradually became grey. Due to austerity, her body gradually became thin, and she wore old garments. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is a practice of the yogi, brahmachari, vanapras, and sannyas to bathe at least three times daily, early in the morning, during noontime, and in the evening. These principles are strictly followed even by some grihasthas, especially brahmanas, who are elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devahuti was a king's daughter and almost a king's wife also. Although Kodama Muni was not a king, by his yogic mystic power, he accommodated Devahuti very comfortably in a nice palace with maidservants and all opulence. But since she had learned austerity even in the presence of her husband, there was no difficulty for her to be austere. Still, because her body underwent severe austerity after the departure of her husband and son, she became thin. To be too fat is not very good for spiritually advanced life. Rather, one should reduce, because if one becomes fat, it is an impediment to progress in spiritual understanding. One should be careful not to eat too much, sleep too much, or remain in a comfortable position. Voluntarily accepting some penances and difficulties, one should take less food and less sleep. These are the procedures for practicing any kind of yoga, whether bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, or hatha yoga. End of purport. Om jnanantaranda syagyan salaka chakshurunitam tasmai shri gurave namaha namo vishnu padaya krishna paristaya bhutale simati bhakti vedanta swaminitya namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shandavari Paschetati Sadani Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Hari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Translation again. She began to bathe three times daily, and thus her curling black hair gradually became grey. Due to austerity, her body gradually became thin, and she wore old garments. We're talking about Devahuti, mother of Kapila Muni. Great lady, great example she is giving for us. Also Kapila, giving a great example for us, for the men, for the ladies. Both are there. He's a first-class example. This is Kali Yuga. Satyuga, highly qualified yogi, Kapila, one of the Prajapatis, highly qualified Devahuti, princess, son of the emperor of the world, Sayambhuva, Manu, very qualified. She practiced austerities. In the beginning of this chapter, when Kapila desired to be married, and Sayambhuva offered his daughter, and she voluntarily accepted the life of an ascetic, as he was living in a cottage by the river, practicing austerity, meditating. So immediately, as a faithful wife, she adopted the same lifestyle. So she was used to this. She also became very thin and got matted locks. More colorless cloth, which had been used to wash in the river. From a princess, she gave all this up. So she wasn't attached. She had good. She was very, very well learned also. Right? Otherwise, who could do such a thing? Everyone's looking for a nice situation. Devahuti left that palace, maidservants, and royal opulence to become the wife of a hermit. I mean, she knew the progressive values of life. Satyuga, people with very advanced consciousness. Kaliyuga is opposite, reverse. Nobody's interested in spiritual life, actually speaking. And everyone's looking for a nice situation. Because people don't follow in Kali Yuga the principles of religion. Hardly anyone follows any real religious principles. And because no one's actually preaching real religious principles practically. ISKCON is very unique, right? When we met the devotees, they're very unique. The knowledge we get from the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement is very unique. We never heard anything like that before. Yeah? Isn't it? Surprising, startling, that knowledge. Even from young, very young children, practically. 14, 15 years old. they can speak so much and we're amazed at what they... How do you know these things? Nobody's preaching. Nobody's preaching against this in Kali Yuga. That is the situation of the... That is designed like that in the material world, material creation. It's always degrading, the material situation. It's always degrading. In physics, you see, it's just energy constantly changing from one state to another state. So it's always, everything's always degrading, practically speaking. A little bit of growth and sustenance, and then overall, everything especially. So it's a great struggle for the eternal soul who wants an eternal happy position to be situated in this material world called Maya. But we're so adamant, so stubborn, that we'll not give up, even on good advice. So that is the situation. But why should someone give up a comfortable situation? Everyone's after a comfortable situation. Why should someone take on voluntary austerities? Already it's bad enough, the material world. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, just to get the bare necessities of life. It's difficult. Why should you take on any more? For what reason? Well, some people do for health reasons, people fast, or political reasons, they will also do, and also for spiritual reasons. But generally, the material reasons is always the life is distressful. Material life is actually distressful because you can't win. Your body is, you've got a loser. If you're banking on the body, you're banking on a loser. It's destined to be food for the worms or the fire or the fish, one or the other. you can't keep it. So we don't put too much emphasis on this. Maintaining the material body, but you see the whole world is, that's what it's all about, isn't it? To maintain the body, stay young, healthy, enjoy life. Without practically any emphasis on the spiritual life or the actual purpose of life, that's all but forgotten. Kali Yuga is very ferocious. Mode of passion is predominant. It goes very fast, Kali Yuga. You can't make ends meet in Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, even the other yugas, it was quite nice. It was quite peaceful to live here in the material world. But Kali Yuga is very ferocious. So passionate. And the more you try to adjust these anonymities, then the worse the situation becomes. Prahlad Maharaj says that I think the solution is worse than the actual problem. Because you're trying to solve a problem, your solution, your methods, it creates 10 more problems. So instead of one problem, you've got 10 problems. So that's how it is. So we shouldn't worry too much about that. Even in business, in modern terminology, they have this, what they call the comfort zone. Get out of the comfort zone, right? Into the stretch zone. What's the other one? I remember three circles we did, of course. Panic zone, that's right. It's a panic zone. If you stay in the comfort zone, soon you'll hit the panic zone. So they advise, stay in the stretch zone. It means exert a little bit, do a little extra. Exert yourself more. Don't be satisfied. Because your satisfaction won't be long. Material nature won't let you be satisfied for very long. So stay one step ahead. Be active. If you want to progress, actually be more proactive, go forward, even though it may not be before the pressure comes, do it. This is what they advise if you want to actually be successful in business, in management. Also here we do the same thing. In spiritual life is the same. Prabhupada says, I think it was regarding deity worship, he said, if you just try to maintain, he said, you'll decline, it'll degrade. He said, but if you always try to increase, he said, at least you'll maintain what you've got. You always endeavor to increase it, then at least that stays, the maintenance state. But if you just try to maintain, by nature it will gradually decrease. So that endeavor is there, endeavor for... And also, tapasya, it burns up bad karma, right? It means unnecessary, you're taking on unnecessary hardships. They're going to come anyway, according to your karma, because you're not going to suffer or enjoy any more than one is due in life. Yeah? That's only a resultant action of your karma. So if you actually take on something voluntary, then it also gets rid of your bad karma. You're using it up prematurely. Not a worry, do it. It's just that, of course, life is a preparation for the next life, if one is intelligent. So, at the end of life is the final, ultimate test. It's very uncomfortable. Very difficult. Not comfortable at all. You can't get out of the comfort, no matter which way you turn. No comfort there. Well, if you're laying in bed for a long time, you can't do much. We have two devotees very sick here now. They're very peaceful, both of them. And they don't mind leaving. Both of them are sick. They're quite happy to leave. They're not in a panic zone, they're actually a peaceful zone. That's the opulence of one of the opulence of devotional services. The devotees who practice devotional service and understand that philosophy, bewildered at the time of death. No big endeavor to stay in the body. In fact, one of the devotees asked Jananda and I our opinion. What shall I do? Shall I endeavor to continue, or should I just let go? Yeah, I'm ready either way. You know. It's so nice to hear that, you know, the process of Krishna consciousness is actually working. One becomes fixed up. Today or tomorrow, Prabhupada said it's just a question of numbers. Right? Who goes first, you or me? 1, 2, 3. So one has to, this is going to happen to everyone. It's a decision that, you know, a situation that everyone's going to come into. Of course, it's quite distressful for the devotees looking after them. We don't have any. We've only got one full-time nurse here. So if anyone has spare time, they can stay with these devotees. Because we don't have any hospice here, you're just relying on friends and well wishes, that's all. There's no one actually to do the job. So if anyone has spare time, they should visit these devotees and spend some time, especially in the evenings, because their wives, etc., they can't stay 24 hours. They have to take rest also. So a little austerity is not bad. I once asked the Bhaktivedanta Purnamaraj, what is a perfect life? What is your perfect way of life? He said that you should find a standard that you want to live at. He said then get a job that you earn enough just to live in that at that standard. Then you're not working excessively. You can work the least, right? You're just working enough to maintain that standard of living. He said, and then you live just a little bit more austerely. He said, then you have extra money to give in charity. So it's here it's recommended, because Kapila was he was a renunciate, a sage. God, Prabhupada did say many things. Prabhupada said everything also. He said chanting Hare Krishna was the only austerity necessary, and following the four Rigda principles. But over and above that, we shouldn't, because we are conditioned into trying to find a comfortable situation. Right? If I change my ashram, if I change my service, if I change my house, if I change... Everyone's looking to be... Even the devotees, it's because the pressure's there, we're in the material world. I do so many pujas for Nrisimhadev every day. 10, at least 10, 20 sometimes. That's why I got the cancer. I got a sore throat. Om Ashing Mahasima Dimaya Balam Ugushing. I have to keep chanting these 108 mantras and offering 108. Everyone has problems. I have a whole list of people, regulars. You know. Help me. Help me overcome. Help me get out of the. Help me get into a more comfortable zone. So it's a reality. But material world is like that, and especially in Kali Yuga, you just can't. It's difficult just to live a simple life, and it'll be impossible in the future. The government won't let you live a simple life, you know? And they can't help themselves either. Just recently, I heard that milk is very hard to digest. So cow's milk. So it's not healthy. No, I thought, wow, you know, the miracle food, and now they claim it's not healthy. Karmis. But then I heard a little while later, someone told me, in the scripture it says, if the cows aren't protected, you won't be able to digest their milk. So, maybe it's right. So, what do you do? You just have to... You're stuck in Kali Yuga, everything's difficult. You know, it's the real problems. The real problems. Because they miss the essential problem, or the essential thing of doing everything for Krishna and trying to take Krishna's place, making their own programs instead of following Krishna's program. As soon as you miss that first point, then everything starts to crumble, disintegrate, and you've got to go along with it. You have to go along with it. You can't stop it. You can't say, well, this can't, in our country, we're going to be a peaceful country. We're not going to store any weapons. We're not, because defense budgets are so huge. In fact, if we stop now the spending on defense, everyone could live quite reasonably and nicely. Everyone could we could spend that money on uplifting the people and having it, giving them all a nice house and facility. But you can't do it, right? If you don't have any protection for the country, then someone's going to come and tread on you sooner or later, and they know that. You're intelligent, you know it's going to happen. So you've got to do it. So you've got to play the game. You've got to keep up. And everyone's fearful of each other. So then the whole thing goes on. Right? You can't stop it. You can't stop it. That is Kali Yuga. It's designed like that. No shelter for the living entity. No rest. Terrible place. So what a benediction Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given. Switch off the material world. So anyways, as far as possible, we should. Prabhupada said that human life is for simple living. He says, don't become too fat. In other words, don't eat too much. Voluntary accepting some penance and difficulties. One should take less food and sleep less. These are the procedures for practicing any kind of yoga. Reducing, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Because these are the four basic material principles of life. So if you can reduce those, plus replace them with spiritual activities, that is the goal of life. So those four goals of life is all in all for the karmis. Eating nicely, sleeping nicely, nice enjoyment, and good defense. Nothing else. They don't do anything else. That's all the whole subject matter of the material world. So if you can reduce that, then you have time for something else, spiritual life. But in Kali Yuga, there's no time. It's so difficult just to get something, just to get rice. Just because in Kali Yuga, you need grains to live. In the previous Yuga, you could live on water. In Kali Yuga, you need grains. Just to get something to eat is difficult. That's all you need. Is something to. If you're in a reasonable country where there's a good climate, you can live outside even. But you need something to eat. But that's difficult. It's also even that's difficult. So what to speak of maintaining the status quo, keeping up with the Joneses, as they say. Playing the game, you have to conform, right? Otherwise you won't be accepted in society. You've got to do this and eat that and wear this. Right? So much pressure there to conform. And you're taught this at school. To conform and to get on top, how to succeed in life. It's how to have everyone have a good opinion of you, that wow, this person's really special, successful. That's all we want, isn't it, really? Whether you're on the top or the bottom, whether you're Bill Gates or George Gates, you're still eating. You get up in the morning and eat some little breakfast and do your go to work and come back and eat something in the evening. The standard of life is not much different. It's just off of that, he has a name which glitters, they won't look in. That a terminal is something special. But as far as the lifestyle is, as far as your life is concerned, it's the same thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, just doing it. It's doing the same thing. Animals are doing the same thing. So we shouldn't over-endeavor for this materialistic achievements. And here in spiritual life, even the basic necessities, you can decrease. Not too much, don't eat too much. Prabhupada didn't like it if anyone was too skinny, he would complain. Call the manager. Why is the body so skinny? Call the manager. Why is it so skinny? No, not proper. He's very concerned that you live a balanced life. So that the reason reason like constitutes faith, doesn't it? Why should I give up my comfort? Why should I do this? So you've got to be convinced. You've got to have a good reason for doing it. So here we're getting these good reasons from these people like Devahuti. She did it. She gave up. She had a fantastic situation. She was still there. She's still living in this fantastic palace with lots of maidservants looking after her. She still has all the opportunities. But she's voluntarily taken this because she's finished. Her husband, she's done her thing. She's lived her life. She's had her children, the son's grown up, gone. Husband's taken sannyas. Spiritualist. So she was a successful mother, successful wife. Now she hasn't anything to live for. No, she doesn't want to start to thinking of what to do now. My husband and somebody we saw, there was one devotee's mother. And her husband died. And then they sent to America, and then she cut her hair, and she dyed it blonde or something, and wearing pants and whole new life, you know. But this time of she wasn't young, but, that's not wasn't the real purpose of you know, she wasn't a Christian devotee. But it wasn't the purpose. And it wasn't the best thing in the world to do, I thought. life is finished. You know, you've been successful. You've done what you want. Now, there's nothing. You haven't anything to prove to anyone anymore. But now you can perfect your life and do that too. Got it. So these are success stories. and spiritually, you're always successful. Materially, it's always frustrating. It's hard. It's an endeavor. It's full of fear, full of anxiety to be materially successful or to materially enjoy. and then at the end, it's frustration because it's taken away eventually. The spirit here spiritually, it's always success. It's a win-win. You see, Kadama Muni, he was spiritually successful. And he was materially successful. Eh? But he didn't have to endeavor. There was no anxiety, no frustration to get his material facility. He just chanted a mantra, or whatever he did, and created this flying palace. Fantastic opulence. No endeavor. So even if you want material opulence or sense gratification, you practice spiritual life sincerely, and it'll all be... If one becomes a pure devotee, Maya stands with folded hands. How can I serve you? So even if you want material life, good material life, become a devotee. And by following the procedures to become a devotee, it's hoped that those foolish desires will go away. And then you can give them up also. But that's, anyway, it generally takes allurements like this, and generally that's why most of us are here. We want to. That's why most of us joined. You know, we want a better state of existence because we didn't think about much spiritual life, but we weren't very satisfied with material life. Those who are not born in devotional families. So everyone has a mixed desires. So we're coming to Krishna to fulfill our desires. We're fortunate, lucky, intelligent, or something, whatever it is. We're here doing it, taking the process of Krishna consciousness for whatever reason. But we're seeing the process works. That people will actually become fixed up in spiritual consciousness, understanding the real purpose of life, become sober. Not affected by the glitter of Maya. So, so we're hearing this again and again in the Bhagavatam, and we get in these wonderful examples again and again. So you get in it in philosophy form, you get it in story form. These are, it's not fiction, these things actually happen. So when we read the lives, hear about the lives of these great people, then it gives us inspiration. It gives us more conviction. It gives us more reason to follow. And then when the faith increases, reason, faith is synonymous. The greater the reason to do something, then the greater the faith, the stronger the faith becomes in that. So therefore we hear these narrations again and again, discuss these narrations and remember these narrations, so that we also become very convinced, have a better reason. Think about it. Weigh the material life against spiritual life, and then we have to make our choice. But here is all the Srimad Bhagavatam is all plus, it's all positive arguments and reasons, because it's given great description of both sides, what is material life and what is spiritual life, and who becomes successful and who doesn't become successful. But with that inspiration, we become more fixed up. Faith becomes more strong. That if we want unshakable faith, then we won't be thinking about all this hankering and lamenting on the material platform, and attain steady devotional service. Then Krishna becomes very pleased, and we will supply much more than what you ever desired in the first place. You'll be so much more satisfied with what Krishna has given. He likes to serve those devotees that are really endeavoring to know Him, to please Him, to give up material life. Krishna appreciates that endeavor, and He will reciprocate more than we can imagine. So that is a spiritual life. And here are the greatest examples we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sarvopad ki jai, Daigopanandi. Of course we have many living great examples sitting with us in this room. So many Devahutis and Kadamas here. Yes, it says later that the celestial damsels, which were her maidservants in the palace, they stayed and were looking after her. Nice situation. That is why I mentioned, if anyone has any time, we may not be in a fortunate situation, some of our devotees. It's ideal. Everything is ideal here. Perfect husband, perfect wife, and they got all facility. Of course, we can't hope to really come up to this standard. These people, the monks, the first in the creation, in Satya Yuga, they're very, very elevated people. But still, the example is that you can become like that. Then you'll get all this facility also, if you want. It's not our. We shouldn't expect this. Unless you've got a really good husband. Don't wait for a Kadama Muni before you get married. It may not happen. The trouble is that you don't have to wait for a Devahuti. It may not happen.